Mayor Wells over to the first ship. Just in case she winds up with some trouble from the people she disappoints, Veronica said.
You really think having us standing on her side is going to help her in the eyes of these people? Romeo said.
We'll keep an appropriate distance.
How's it going, Gretchen? I said into the comm. We're arriving at their hidden hangar right now, she said, moving at top speed. I went orbital to save time, and we're cruising back down through the atmosphere, right on top of the site.
Good work, I said. Drop those pilots off and get back here as soon as you can.
Copy that.
Despite the pressure the people in the crowd were under, they were remarkably well-behaved. Maybe it was because, as members of the front, they lived in constant fear of having to leave the planet in a rush, or fight to defend it. The idea that this might happen wasn't foreign to them. Still, the existence of a Forerunner machine hovering above the city they called home might have elicited some kind of hysteria. Instead, most held steady, even if their expressions were alloyed with apprehension.
I bet every one of these people lives with a go-bag near their front door, Romeo said.
That, I said, seeing that Romeo had been tracking along the same lines. Or they're just the pedigree of people who can handle this sort of thing.
Maybe a kind of fearlessness in the face of grave circumstances came standard for the people who joined the front.
When it became apparent that Mayor Wells had the situation as well in hand as we could expect, I sent Romeo over to keep an eye on Virgil and Sadie.
You just don't want me pissing off the mayor with an offhand comment.
That's a bonus, I told him as he left. Virgil got through a surprising number of vessels fast. Sadie did an excellent job of moving him from one to the next without any delays. Normally, he liked to spend a lot of time exploring a ship and seeing all the different things he could do to improve it. But she wasn't giving him even an extra minute.
Move, 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 she kept shouting at him as they charged to the next ship in line.
How are we doing? I asked Veronica after a while.
Sadie just took Virgil into the last of the large transports.
We should be ready to start getting ships out of here any time now, she said. The mayor's been loading each one up the moment Veronica finishes repairing them.
Then we just need to get the Guardian out of the area first so it doesn't shoot them down.
I'm impressed. I brought up Gretchen on the comm again.
Sit rep.
Almost back to you, she said. The fighters are a bit faster and should reach you before we do.
All right, I said. When you get here, head for the airfield on the west side of town. We're in the big hangar to the southeast. Put it between you and the Guardian when you land if you can.
Roger that.
I gave Veronica the thumbs up, and she moved forward to relay the information to Mayor Wells. The mayor gave her a grateful nod before returning to her work.
Just then a series of explosions rolled like thunder outside, rattling the hangar's walls. A number of the people inside the building began to scream, but the more level-headed folks around them convinced them to quiet down.
The last thing we needed was a detachment of Forerunner soldiers to be drawn there by all the wailing.
You too, Mayor Wells said, pointing at Mickey and me. Get me some eyes out there and tell me what's going on.
We didn't even glance at Veronica for confirmation. We just moved.
We made our way to the doors, taking care not to trample any innocents on our way.
Outside, we found ourselves on the edge of a wide-open span of concrete, across which we could see the terminal and the control tower. We moved into the open area until we had a clear angle to see the Guardian over the hangar's roof. As we did, I spotted a trio of fighters, F-41 broadswords painted in the front's colors, sweeping past the construct's shoulders at top speed. They fired off missiles as they went, and these slammed into the gargantuan monster hard and fast. The fighters moved at an angle perpendicular to us, a path designed to keep the machine's attention away from our direction. Soon after the fighters passed, the sky rumbled with the vibrations of a sonic boom. Another wave of broadswords approached from the same angle, even as the lead bird from the first group began to circle around widely enough so that it would take the fighters far north of the hole in the wall. The next fighters were slower than the first group, but these half-dozen ships each unloaded a barrage of missiles at the Guardian. The explosives all struck true, but none of them had much of an effect. I don't know if the ships would have been able to even ding the Guardian if they'd been firing anything less powerful than a nuke. The creature just shrugged them off. Still, the missiles got its attention, and the twin beam emitters from behind the Guardian's main chassis began to glow again. As the fighters swept past it,
I hoped it wouldn't be able to track any of them fast enough. The fighters are here, Veronica, but they're not going to do much good. Just as long as they can keep the Guardian distracted, she said. That's all we need. With that, the tall doors on the front of the hangar began to slide aside, exposing the people inside to the late afternoon light. The doors faced away from the Guardian, so there was no risk of it seeing the people or the ships, until they took off for the stars. As Mickey and I watched, the beams from the Guardian's emitters began to fire. The first shot missed entirely, but the second lanced right through one of the fighters, turning it into a bright ball of fire. I could hear the collective gasp of the people in the building. The need to evacuate the planet suddenly became a lot sharper. Fortunately, the fighter's ploy seemed to have worked. The Guardian began moving after them. At first it floated along so slowly that I didn't think it would have been able to catch even me on an open street. Then I realized part of that was simply perspective. It was so far away, it was like watching a mountain move. As it got going, it moved faster. A third wing of fighters swept in from the east and sent another volley of missiles at it. And it seemed like it was almost matching them for speed. It took down two of them with its beam emitters before they even moved past it. The Guardian was so massive that its movement stirred up the wind in its wake. Even from as far away as we were, I could hear it blowing past my helmet. The gusts were coming so hard it was as if a storm had hit the area. "Windows closing, Veronica! You gotta get those birds in the air now!" I shouted over the comm. "You're not going to get a better chance!" "The fighters are drawing the Guardian to the southeast," Mickey said. "Have the ships head northeast from the moment they take off. The last thing we need is for that thing to spot them escaping and come back to cut them off." "Already on it," Veronica said. As we moved back into the building to help with security, I raised Gretchen and Dutch on the comm. "You two doing all right?" I asked. "We're on our way back to you," Gretchen said. "Are the fighters there already?" "They hit the Guardian hard. Didn't put much of a dent in it, but they got it to start chasing after them. So in that respect, mission accomplished." "Gretchen wanted to be part of the first wave," Dutch said. "But the Condor's a dropship, not a fighter. Those broadswords would have been literally cooling their jets waiting for us to try to keep up with them." "The Guardian shot a couple of them out of the air," I told them. "Even moving as fast as they were, they didn't have a chance. If it turns its attention to you, you're goners. Don't let that happen." "Aw, Buck," Gretchen said. "I didn't know you cared." "You're our ride out of here," I told her flatly. "Don't leave us stranded." "You got it, Buck," Dutch said. "Circle around and come in from the southeast if you can. Just stay out of that thing's line of sight." Inside the building, people had begun pressing toward the escape ships. The problem was that most of the ships were already filled up, and they had to get moving. "I need you to clear those people out of the way," Veronica said over the comm to me and Mickey. "Otherwise, no one's getting out of here today." I stared at the crowd through the hangar doors. The situation was growing uglier by the second. Some of them had guns out and were starting to threaten those around them. A few were even pointing their weapons at the pilots of the ships. What had earlier been a steady, impassive disposition in the face of danger was becoming an aggressive bid to stay alive. "We have to move, or this is all going to go south," I said to Mickey as I began to push into the crowd, taking care not to trample anyone under my armored feet. "So what can we do?" he said, falling in behind me. "We can't just shoot everyone here." I pulled out my sidearm. "Buck, no!" he shouted. I fired three shots into the air. Everyone who wasn't already on a ship turned to stare at me. A good number of them swung their weapons in my direction. I could only hope they'd listen to me. If they started shooting, this was going to turn into a bloodbath real fast. I was about to start barking orders, but Mickey stepped forward and hauled my gun arm down. "Stop it," he shouted at me. "All right, Mickey," I said. "I got their attention. You talk to them." To his credit, he stepped forward and stood between me and the guns pointed at us. A lot of them lowered immediately. "Look, everybody," he said to the crowd, "we need you to move to the side so the ships that are already full can leave. If you don't do that, we're all going to be stuck here." There were so many anguished faces looking to Mickey for help, and we both knew he couldn't give it to them. None of us could. "That thing is gone for now. But it will come back, he said. Your friends and neighbors have risked their lives to make that happen. Some of them have already died in that effort. If you back up and let these ships go, we can work on getting others into the air. The longer you hold us up, the less chance that's going to happen. No one who isn't already on one of these ships is going to be let aboard. So let them go.
As Mickey spoke, people began lowering or holstering their guns, some with the grace to be shamefaced. A few of them looked like they still wanted to fight, but when Mickey or I stared in their direction, they glanced around to see that the support they'd need to take us on was rapidly melting around them. In the back of the room, I saw Sadie leading Virgil over to another smaller ship, still working at helping more people off the planet before it was too late. Romeo had found an open metal stairwell that led up to the roof of the hangar, and he was standing on the top landing, surveying the crowd. Veronica stood next to the mayor, who presided grim-faced over the entire operation. Mickey walked into the hangar, moving to the right, while I moved to the left. While there were still hundreds of people in the hangar, there was a lot more room inside the building since so many had boarded the transports. The unlucky ones shuffled off to the side, pressing into the far edges of the building as they gave way to Mickey and me. This formed an aisle in the middle of the hangar through which the ships could taxi out. They began to proceed, but it was slow going. A few desperate souls refused to stand aside. They hung on to the transport's landing gear or pounded on their hatches. Tears rolled down their cheeks as they wailed at the injustice of being left behind. Most of the others in the hangar turned their faces away and did their best to ignore the agony, which they shared, of course, but were too stolid to express. I wasn't there to argue with them about the unfairness of it all. That was something they'd have to take up with Cortana, but I wasn't about to let them block the way for everyone else. Mickey guided the stragglers out of the way as they looked for someplace to go. I followed in his wake. Every time I approached, they practically fled before me, terrified at having to face down a full-blown, armored-up Spartan. It made sense. For decades, the Front had painted the Spartans as the monsters of the UNSC, the people who would charge into their homes in the dead of night and throw them into the streets, if we didn't murder them right there in their beds. The children left in the building, of which there were mercifully few, trembled at the sight of me, and a few of the adults did too. I wasn't above using that fact to help clear the way. Once the path to the hangar door was empty, I moved out front and led the first ship out of the hangar. It was a small passenger vessel with room for probably 100 people. "Are these the leaders of Cassidy III's front?" I asked Veronica as I stood in the doorway and watched the ship move into the open. "Not all of them," she said. "Just a few and their families, along with some of the scientists. Mayor Wells decided to spread them around into a number of different ships." "Just in case one of them gets shot down," I said, nodding. The first ship made its way toward the center of the airfield, lifted off the ground, and launched away on a bright blue tail of fire. The next ships followed one by one in short queue, like shells fired from a shotgun. I kept an eye on the southern horizon, where I could see the top part of the Guardian. It was probably moving away faster than I could imagine, but it still seemed like it was a crawling mountain, almost sinking into the earth from this perspective. I was just happy the mountain didn't turn around. "Tell those flyers they're doing a hell of a job," I said to Gretchen over the comm. "They keep this up, and we'll be able to get every ship in the airfield clean out of here." "How many would that be total?" Dutch asked. "Not nearly enough. This place is still full of people. It's like the ship is going down, but they don't have enough lifeboats to get everyone away." "Damn," Gretchen said. "Who's coming with us?" "That's a good question," I said as I headed back into the hangar. Even if the Guardian turned around right now, I figured we had at least a little bit of time. Mickey came with me while some of the mayor's escorts stepped up to help with crowd control. Watching them, I realized that they were probably the least likely to find a seat on one of those escaping flights. I tapped Sadie on the comm. "Where are you right now?" I asked. "Finishing up with the last of the transports," Sadie said. "Virgil's fixed all of them." "There are going to be a lot of disappointed people today." And I knew who they were going to blame. "Once you're done, hustle over to where Veronica and the mayor are, and we'll plan our next steps from there."
Next steps. Sadie laughed without any bitterness. I always liked your optimism, Buck.
Hey, Buck, Dutch shouted over the comm. We got a problem.
What's up?
I said, already dreading the answer.
The Guardian just shot down the last of the fighters. They're all gone.
I swore. I'd held out hope that some of those brave pilots would manage to beat the odds. At least they'd done their job, buying all of those escaping a chance to live.
Can you see the Guardian from where you are?
Yeah, it's turning around and heading in your direction.
But if you got any more ships you want to get out of there, you'd better make it happen.
How about the Condor?
We're headed down toward you right now. You'd all better be ready to climb on board, or we'll be stuck here with everyone else who's getting left behind.
We can't leave all these people here, Mickey said as we strode toward Veronica and the mayor, past the remaining crowd who had grown even more restless.
That's not an option.
We did what we could, Mickey. What else do you suggest we try?
I don't know. Do I look like the Forerunner expert here?
Maybe Virgil can do something.
He seems to be able to fix everything else around here.
As we reached Veronica, Mickey grabbed me by the shoulder and spun me around.
We can't just give up.
That wasn't where I wanted to finally have it out with him, but if he was determined to do it then and there, I wasn't going to shy away. I took off my helmet and got right up in his face.
What, Mickey? What would you have me do?
All the ships are full.
You get it? There aren't any more coming to save anyone.
So that's it, he said, incredulous.
You're just going to give up?
Like you gave up on us?
Come on now. That's not fair.
Fine. He was right. This was a different argument. The UEG is on the ropes. The UNSC is all but done for.
This is the future the front wanted, right?
Well, you sure got it.
Hey, we still have Alpha 9,
he said, desperate to find anything we had going for our side.
We have us!
I wanted to rip his head off right then, but I restrained myself.
You tore Alpha 9 to pieces 3 years ago.
We were going to keep going over the same argument again and again, and it wasn't going to get us anywhere. I pointed in the direction of the Guardian, clearly heading toward us.
Look, I said, maybe we can somehow destroy it. Fly the Condor into the heart of it with a nuke.
I saw a glimmer of hope on his face.
Could we do that?
I shattered that hope with a wave of my hand. And maybe we could drop to our knees and pray for it to spontaneously fall apart.
It doesn't matter. It wouldn't change anything.
I got up in his face. There's no cavalry coming. There's no one left out there but us.
Even Infinity's on the run. If we somehow managed to destroy that Guardian, what do you think would happen?
Mickey gestured toward the crowd.
I suspect these people would be pretty happy.
Yeah, for all of about a day. And then what happens? Cortana sends another Guardian. Maybe three of them. And we've already done everything we can. All the nukes, which we don't even have, I might point out, would be gone. And not one thing has changed. Except all the so-called heroes are now dead.
I saw understanding dawning in Mickey's eyes. He blinked at me and lowered his head. How hard is this to grasp? This isn't a battle we can win, Mickey. We don't have enough heroes left to just throw them away. We need to get the hell out of here so we can fight another battle in another place on another day. One we have a prayer of winning.
He looked back up at me with a fury burning in his eyes. It took me a moment to realize it wasn't focused on me.
All right, he said, we'll run. We'll hide. But you got to promise me that when this is all over, assuming we make it out alive, we come back to check up on these people, and we make things right for them if we can.
I put my hand out for him to shake. I can't promise you anything, I said, but I'll do the best I can. He stared down at my hand for a moment, long enough that I realized I was holding my breath, waiting for him. Then he reached out and shook it.
I'm going to hold you to that.
You always do.
Chapter 19.
Glad to see you two idiots made up, Veronica said from where she stood in the corner of the hangar. Now let's get out of here. Gretchen's still on her way back in the Condor, I said. And the Guardian's on its way too. It's going to be close. Mayor Wells, who'd been barking out orders to others, turned to join us.
Mr. Crespo, she said, I need you to send the rest of these people home. Fast.
Mickey's face fell as the implications struck him.
We don't have any choice, the mayor continued.
When the Guardian comes back to take out any more fleeing ships, it's sure to send in more of those Forerunner soldiers. If they burst in here right now, it would be a flat-out massacre. But if these citizens leave, they have a chance to live.
Seriously?
Mickey looked gutted. He'd been coming to a reckoning with this decision, but hearing it spoken out loud smacked him hard.
Why me?
He asked, stricken at the idea of having to shatter so many hopes at once.
They're already listening to you, she said.
The mayor put a sympathetic hand on Mickey's arm.
This isn't over. The front is not finished. We know how to take on enemies far more powerful than we are.
She paused to look around the hangar and at the open sky through the building's doors.
The hole in the wall's just a city. Cassidy 3 is just a planet. We don't fight for those things. We fight for freedom. And when the time comes, our banner will fly again. If not here, then on other worlds. It's just a matter of time.
Mickey nodded his assent.
All right, he said. I'll do it.
As he went off to address the people, Mayor Wells beckoned Veronica and me into the back of the hangar and guided us through a door there. Emerging from the building, we could see the Guardian looming over the city beyond. It was moving in our direction, growing larger with every second.
Is there any way we can get the Guardian to stop attacking us? The mayor said.
Would you be willing to surrender? Veronica asked, clearly unsure of the response.
Some of the other planets the Guardians have pacified managed that. Once the rest of these transports are gone, I think I could count that as a win and stomach the rest.
I looked back over the building and watched as the last of the transports burned off into the sky. At least some of the people of Cassidy 3 would get away. Now we needed to worry about the rest. Virgil, I said over the comm.
Right here, Sadie called out from the doorway back into the hangar. She glowed with satisfaction at having helped the Huragok fix so many things in so short a time.
And they were ready to do more.
What's next?
Hey, buddy, I said to the Huragok as Veronica, the mayor, and I rejoined them inside the hangar.
Can you activate Leonidas? We need to chat with him.
Certainly,
the Huragok said through his tablet. He pulled out the additional tablet he'd plugged the Leonidas chip into and set to work. The hangar stood almost entirely empty. Whatever Mickey had said to everyone in there, it worked. The only people left were Mickey and what remained of the mayor's escort, a trio of well-armed front soldiers. They joined us silently as we huddled around the Huragok. A moment later, Virgil presented the extra tablet to us, and Leonidas's hologram appeared above it.
Hello again, the red helmet said to us. I presume the Guardian arrived and you've failed terribly in your efforts to resist it. Otherwise, you would have left me in storage indefinitely.
I ignored the barb. The Guardian you called in sent an army of Forerunner soldiers to attack the population. On top of that, it's shot down a number of aircraft.
Which I'm sure weren't trying to damage it, Leonidas said sarcastically.
The point is that the mayor here would like to surrender Cassidy 3 to the Guardian, to stop its attacks from going any further. But we have no way of communicating with it.
And you would like me to contact it on your behalf so that the citizens of this city can live another day, correct?
That about sums it up.
No, I'm not going to help you.
What? The AI glared at me from inside his red helmet.
Why should I? I fully expect to be destroyed when this is all over.
We don't have time for you to be vindictive, I told him. What's done is done. If we don't move quickly, you'll be destroyed right along with us. The Guardian is on its way back here right now.
You managed to draw it away.
He looked at us each in turn and then glanced around the empty hangar, impressed despite himself. Just so you could fill up the ships you had here and get the citizens off the planet. Well played.
You served the UNSC for years, building soldiers to defend humanity, I said. Are you going to tell me that you don't have a shred of that left in you? This colony is ready to lay down its arms and follow Cortana's edict. What would happen if she found out that you willingly ignored their efforts to do that?
Leonidas's eyes narrowed for several seconds before he responded. Your point is taken. I'm assuming you've utilized all of your colony's escape craft, and now you're the last ones here, effectively stranded.
Mayor Wells stepped forward.
That's correct. Now that we've sent away those of our population that we could, we have no reason to resist any longer. We would like, as a colony, to submit to your authority and protection.
That's actually the right way to put it, Leonidas said. Under the discretion of wise and efficient leadership, the peace your resistance has sought for decades can be finally realized. You'd think that wouldn't be such a difficult concept for civilized people to grasp, although they like to fight against it tooth and claw.
I assure you, we are ready, the mayor said.
To attempt to stand up to the Guardian any longer would be pointless, and we'd like to put an end to further loss of life. We're willing to lay down our weapons.
Leonidas nodded. I'm willing to establish contact with the Guardian and relay your offer, but I cannot make any guarantees. Those machines are designed to follow protocol, and their protocol is absolute. I will do what I can.
That seems like the best we can expect.
Your Huragak here has disabled the communications capabilities of the tablet currently housing me. Remove that restriction, and I will ask the Guardian to cease all attacks. I have only one condition.
What's that? I asked. Sure, I was going to hate the answer.
You must give me over to the Guardian.
If we give you over to the Guardian, couldn't you just as easily order it to destroy us? Mayor Wells asked.
Of course, Leonidas said. But what would be the point of that? Our goal is to put an end to all violence.
How's that working out so far? I asked.
If I wanted to see you dead, Spartan, all I'd have to do is let the Guardian continue on its current course. Eventually, it will reach a point at which it perceives the colony to be fully pacified, and that will probably be far short of total annihilation. But who can say for sure?
Just how are we supposed to deliver you to the Guardian? The mayor asked.
All you need to do is have your Huragak open the communications channels on this tablet. Once freed, I will request that the Guardian cease all military operations against Cassidy 3 and its residents.
And any visitors, added Mickey.
Of course. If it complies within its protocol constraints, the machine will immediately cease its pacification efforts.
I gave Veronica a sidelong glance. She ran her fingers over her lips as she considered his offer.
I don't suppose we have much of a choice, she finally said.
I'm glad you see it that way, Leonidas said. All right. I turned to Virgil. Is this something you can do?
His head rose up and down on the end of that long neck. If you think it is wise.
That I'm not so sure about, I told him. But go ahead and do it anyway. The big lug looked to Sadie for confirmation, and she gave him a firm nod. While Virgil worked on the tablet, we all moved out of the building to get a better look at the Guardian. It was still several clicks out. The top half of it had heaved over the horizon, and its bluish eyes, if that's what they actually were, glowed at us through the distant haze being fueled by the countless columns of smoke throughout the city.
Buck, Mickey said, pulling me to the side.
Yeah?
If that thing can shoot a fighter moving past it faster than the speed of sound, what's to keep it from doing the same to us when we try to escape?
Probably nothing at all. But barring any better options, we'll just have to take our chances.
Hey, Gretchen, I said into the comm, bring the bird in low. Don't let her engines cool down, though. We'll be taking back off straight away.
Copy that. Coming in low and fast.
Where did Romeo go?
Veronica asked me. He's where he needs to be. Trust me, I told her. Insurance. She gave me a wary glance, but let it slide. How's that tablet coming? She asked Virgil. The Hurrigok ran his tentacles over the tablet one more time and then presented it to us. Leonidas looked at the Hurrigok expectantly. Will it work? Please give it a try, Virgil's own tablet said. Leonidas gazed up in the direction of the Guardian and froze. While he was in that condition, Virgil spoke to us. I opened communications frequencies that are commonly used by Forerunner constructs. Leonidas should be able to speak directly with the Guardian. However, this tablet does not have slipspace communications capability, so he should not be able to reach the rest of Cortana's distributed forces. At least, not directly. I gave him a nod. Good work. I didn't need another Guardian popping into the sky over the hole in the wall. We had enough on our hands already. So, I leaned over and said to Leonidas, any luck there? I've established communications with the Guardian, he said in a distant voice. It was following standard protocol, as I indicated earlier. I have now designated this as a responsive planet, and it should change its behavior accordingly. How much confidence can we place in that? It was built by the Forerunners eons ago. It has come under the control of Cortana, and by way of our alliance, it should listen to me. But I have never had the opportunity to work directly with such a construct. We shall see. Just to be clear, Mickey told Leonidas, if that thing tries to kill us, I'm going to make sure you go first. I have no doubt about it, the AI said. We stood there and waited for the Guardian to approach the city. Instead of turning toward the spire in the center of the hole in the wall, though, it veered toward us. As it did, portals opened up all around the airfield, and Forerunner armigers stepped through them to surround us. Well behind them, I saw the Condor quietly land on the far side of the airfield. It taxied toward us, slow and tentative. Keep that gun cold, Dutch, I said. We're at a delicate moment here. More and more of the Forerunner soldiers kept popping in all around us. They had their weapons leveled at us, but they didn't fire. Through the portals, I could see a brief glimpse of the hole in the wall in ruins, people painfully crying out in the places the soldiers were leaving behind. At least we'd drawn them away from that. Leonidas, I said, I didn't order these soldiers here, if that's what you're wondering. I believe they're just evaluating your status and conditions for the Guardian. Before what? Another portal opened up then. This one much larger than the rest. Round and wide, it had a wavering edge of electric blue where it connected this world with one many light-years distant. Through it, I could see a darkened sky settling over a familiar landscape. The snow-capped Forerunner spires that covered Genesis. Before they go home. The Forerunner soldiers turned around and began filing through the portal, several at a time. In under a minute, they'd all leaped through the portal and were gone. An instant later there was a bright flash, and the portal disappeared, leaving us alone on the airfield. Except for the Guardian, which was still scudding our way. I'm going to take that as a good sign, Mayor Wells said. Now, if you fine people don't mind, I need to go see to those who were left behind. What are your plans now, Mayor? I asked, wondering if she'd stowed a private shuttle she could use once the smoke cleared. Oh, I'm staying here, Spartan. These are my people, and if they ever needed me, it's now. We'll rebuild and recover what was lost, she said with a steely gaze. And I'm not just referring to the buildings. Thank you for all your help, Veronica said to her. I'm sorry we had to meet under such horrible circumstances. And I'm sorry you managed to bring those circumstances down on our heads. They didn't do this, Leonidas said. I did. And I only sped up the inevitable. Cortana would have found you soon enough, and you would have been even less prepared if the Spartans hadn't been here. The mayor stepped back to look at all of us and gave a sad shake of her head. Don't expect me to thank you. Leonidas said, "Now that your planet has surrendered, however, we will endeavor to take care of you. Once your acceptance has been ratified, the guardian that heralded your invasion will also bring your salvation. We will bring in armigers to rescue those in danger. They will clean away the debris and help you rebuild. They will bring you potable water and edible food. In short, you will be cared for, in a way that neither your local government nor the wider front, nor, especially, the unified Earth government, could ever manage." "And all it costs us is our freedom, huh?" Mayor Wells said. "I suppose it would seem ungrateful for me to forego thanking you for such generosity. But seeing as our capitulation came at the business end of a gun..." "We don't require anything except peace," said Leonidas. "That will include turning over all of your instruments of war, leaving us defenseless. You no longer have any need for them. We will defend you against all invaders. Except yourselves." Leonidas let that one lie. "And what are we to do with you?" Sadie asked the AI. "Should we just leave you in the hangar for the Guardian to retrieve?" "It is already in the process of collecting me. Look up and to your left." We did as instructed and saw that a section of the Guardian had detached itself from the head-like structure at the machine's apex and was floating in our direction. It was large and triangular, and looked like a pyramid set on its side. It seemed to have been machined from a single slab of silvery metal and polished to an unnatural gleam. The piece moved fast, as if the rest of the machine had been holding it back. It rushed down out of the sky like an arrow, then hovered over the airfield for a moment before it settled down in the center of the field, coming to rest a meter off the ground. No one came out of it. In fact, it didn't even open up. I wasn't sure there was an inside to it at all. I'd half expected a Forerunner soldier, or maybe some physical manifestation of a Forerunner AI, to step forward and take the tablet from us. Instead, the chunk of metal, roughly the size of a house, just hung there before us, impassive and cold. "Bring me to the Durance node," Leonidas said. I gestured for Virgil to hand me the tablet so I could make the delivery. I wasn't about to let Virgil get within reach of the Durance node. Whatever that meant. That gas bag was one of our aces in the hole, and we didn't need to lose him to Cortana. I, however, was expendable. As I walked across the airfield, Gretchen brought the Condor in toward the hangar in a wide arc, keeping it well clear of me. She was trailing around the far side of the tarmac, theoretically out of sight, though I knew that was too good to be true. Leonidas noted this. "You should be aware that the Guardian will not permit you to leave the planet in that Condor." "What? We're not allowed to fly anywhere now?" "It is a ship of war. I like to think of it as basic transportation, Spartan style. Its weapons will not do you any good against the Guardian." I laughed at him. "Believe me, I wouldn't even try." Gretchen parked the Condor's rear toward the hangar, and the back ramp came down almost immediately. I glanced back and saw Dutch emerge, waving everybody in. I held up for a moment to put on my helmet, and I watched as the rest of them said goodbye to the mayor and piled on board. Sadie and Virgil went first. Veronica and Mickey hesitated at the ramp. Both of them looked at me like it might be the last time I would ever see them. Mickey frowned at me, even as Veronica smiled and blew me a kiss. I nodded at them both, and then started walking again toward the Durance node. Chapter 20. I approached the floating Durance node with Leonidas in hand. As I grew closer, I realized how big the thing was. From a distance, it had seemed kind of delicate, but it had some serious bulk. If it had wanted to, it could have crushed me flat. Whatever was keeping it in the air worked silently. It was eerie, as if it had just been placed in the air and stuck there. "What am I supposed to do?" I asked Leonidas as I looked for a handle, or even a shelf on the detached piece of the Guardian. "Just slap you on the side of this thing?
Precisely. Place the tablet against the surface of the node, Leonidas said.
I did as he instructed, and then I let go. The tablet hung there as if held in place by powerful magnets. I was disappointed it didn't fall to the ground and shatter. I might have been inclined to accidentally step on it and grind it into dust.
Goodbye, Spartan Buck, Leonidas said, despite our differences. You made an excellent Spartan.
Made? I was proud to be a part of the Spartan 4 program, to help mold the next generation of humanity's greatest soldiers. But with the rise of Cortana and the rest of the created, Spartans are now obsolete. There simply is no longer a need for those such as you. You know, that's actually a day I've long hoped for.
I can tell that you don't believe your day is done.
I shrugged. I wouldn't want to get ahead of myself.
Enjoy your retirement, Spartan, Leonidas said. You may not have earned it, but it's here just the same.
With that, the Durance node began to rise. As soon as it did, I hoofed it back to the Condor. Get ready to get that bird in the air, I called out to Gretchen over the comm. The ship shuddered in response. I leaped in through the ramp, leaving it open behind me. Virgil, I said, how long do you think we have until the Guardian decides to take us out? The gas bag turned to look at me.
The Condor?
Yeah. We're not supposed to leave here, and we're going to try it anyhow, so how long? The Huragok hesitated for a moment.
As soon as the Durance node rejoins the Guardian, it would be safe to execute us.
If we are attempting to escape the planet. How long does that give us?
No more than a minute.
Then we'd better get moving.
We can't break out of Cassidy 3's gravity well before then, Mickey said.
And this bird doesn't have the ability to enter slipspace inside the atmosphere.
Not what I was talking about.
I gave him a wry laugh. Romeo, I said into my comm. You still on top of the hangar?
Just relaxing up here with my new best friend, Gunny. Nothing like an M99.
You got a clear shot on that tablet?
Lined up and ready to go.
You put it right there in the open just for me, didn't you?
Just got lucky.
Take the shot, then get packed up and ready to go. We're out of here as fast as we can be. Gretchen, get us in the air and ready for an instant pickup.
As we rose up over the hangar, I peered out the window next to Virgil at the Guardian in the distance. The node was closing with it, but hadn't reached its final destination yet. I spotted Romeo lying on the hangar's roof, his rifle's tripod resting on the very edge. As a sniper, he always did his job well, getting himself into position and waiting for the right moment to present itself. This was his game now, what he was born to do. The truth is, I had no clue how everything would square away. I didn't know that we'd end up cutting a deal with the Guardian in the end, or that Leonidas would wind up taking a Forerunner elevator to the top floor. But I did know something. It almost always comes down to who has the last shot. That's why I'd had Romeo stowed away up there, keeping an eye on the whole ordeal. And guess what? It was about to pay off big time. I cranked up the visual magnification in my visor and found the tablet still stuck on the side of the Durance node. It was already far enough away that I doubted I could have made the shot myself. Even with a recoilless anti-materiel rifle like the M99, it takes an expert marksman to score a hit at such a distance. Romeo waited for the right moment, and then let it happen. As I watched, his round slammed into the tablet and smashed it to pieces. The fragment somehow remained attached to the Durance node, falling back to its surface as if that side of the node were generating its own gravity. I didn't wait to see what the Guardian was going to do about that last little bit of vengeance. I just smiled and began barking orders. Gretchen, go get Romeo. The rest of you, strap in. We're in for a rough ride.
Gretchen swung us right over to Romeo's perch and let the back gate hang wide open for him.
Come on, I shouted as I waved him on board. He tossed me his rifle, which I handed off to Mickey, and then made a flying leap into the back of the bird, powered by a burst of his armor's ancient thrusters. Even then he barely made it. I caught him by the arm and hauled him in while Veronica slapped the button closing the rear hatch tight.
Move! I shouted to Gretchen.
Get us out of here as fast as you can. Evasive maneuvers, Veronica ordered. Do whatever you can.
Gretchen took off for the sky, moving the condor back and forth in an erratic pattern, random in a way only a living creature could manage, to evade an attack from the Guardian. As she went, she kept us pointed upward, gunning for the blackness of space as fast as prudence would allow. As Romeo and I strapped ourselves in, a bright bolt of blue light about 10 meters in width lanced past us on our left. Even as thin as the air was getting, I could hear it crackling through the condor's walls, its energy resonating through the air. A yelp of terror erupted from Sadie, but she clamped it down right away. I didn't blame her a bit. The rest of us were seasoned veterans. Despite the horrors Sadie had already seen in her life, she was a civilian. She hadn't signed up for this. Come to think of it, neither had Virgil.
Do you think we're going to make it? She asked him.
There is a chance. He put a tentacle around her shoulders, and she leaned into his side.
I'm not going to ask how big a chance.
Virgil squirmed a little bit.
That would probably be best.
I reached over and held Veronica's hand. She gave mine a squeeze.
I love you, I said to her.
Thank you, she said right back. Another massive blue beam flew past us, this one even closer. In response, Gretchen threw the ship into a series of turns so violent that if we hadn't had the Condor's artificial gravity, I would have vomited all over the inside of my helmet. I like working with people who really want to live. How close are we to being able to hit slipspace? I asked when my stomach stopped flipping around.
Another 20 seconds,
Dutch shouted back from the gunner's seat.
We're going to make it, Mickey said. I can't believe it. We're going to make it.
It was then that the power in the ship went out, plunging us into darkness.
Shit, Gretchen said. We just got hit. We're falling.
The Guardian's attenuation pulse weapon, functioning like an EMP, had clipped our wings. We hadn't gotten to the point where we'd left Cassidy 3's gravity well behind. And without any power, the artificial gravity vanished. In an instant, I could feel everything moving about me. The free-fall weightlessness of plummeting back toward the planet, combined with the residual spin of the craft from Gretchen's last set of evasive maneuvers.
Virgil!
I shouted. Despite the power being out, the Hurrigok glowed in the dark. I was never sure if that was due to some sort of bioluminescence or integrated electronics, but I don't suppose it mattered. Even in literally our darkest moment, I could still see him. I am already working on the problem, he said, his voice forever unflappable. He just floated about the place, using his tentacles to right himself and get oriented toward what he needed to find.
Work faster,
Dutch shouted from the front of the craft. I turned on the headlamp in my armor to help Virgil, and Romeo did the same. Virgil pulled himself toward the cockpit and began rooting around.
I have to get to the power supply behind the flight control panel, he said. But I don't have the time to be delicate about it. If you would please remove it.
Dutch reached out and ripped a good chunk of the control panel free. He held it high over his head to allow the Hurrigok access.
Go, he said. Go, go, go!
Thank you, Virgil said as he squirmed forward, worming his tentacles into the Condor's innards. He moved surprisingly well in the weightlessness. This should take only a few seconds.
We don't have much more than that, Mickey shouted.
On the contrary, Virgil said, using its attenuation pulse emitters to black out an area requires a tremendous amount of the Guardian's own energy. It will be a while before it can generate the power it would need to activate its beam cannons again.
That'll be cold comfort if we're dead, Veronica said.
Once I reactivate the Condor's basic functions, I will still need to get at least one of the engines working, Virgil said. I cannot do that from inside. That is going to require leaving the craft.
This one's me, I told the others.
I unbuckled my straps and made my way toward the rear ramp, ready to open it as soon as the ship's power came back on. Moving inside the tumbling vehicle was dizzying, even for someone who'd been weightless more times than I could count, but I managed to haul myself forward by means of any handholds I could find. As I went, the ship's interior leaped to life once again, sending sparks up from the dashboard behind me. Virgil emerged into the bay a moment later. I slapped the button for the back ramp, and it shoved itself open. The wind roared in like a hurricane. I reached back and grabbed Virgil, then hauled him toward the entrance. "Which engine?" I asked.
"It does not matter," he said.
I looked down at the ground, spinning wildly below us. We were only going to get one shot at this. I grabbed Virgil by the straps he used to keep his tablet attached to him and clipped him to my armor. "Here's hoping these are good for more than just decoration," I said. The turbulence drowned out any response. I chose the left side of the craft and swung us out in that direction, into the howling wind produced by our plummet through the atmosphere. I dragged myself along the ship's exterior with my arms alone, using the handholds and footholds for maintenance crews, who normally used such things only while the ship was resting on solid ground. The pulling from Virgil's straps didn't bother me at all, but I could hear him squealing in pain about it. Still, he stuck with me. Not that I gave him much of a choice. We had fallen close enough back to the hole in the wall that I could pick out and identify buildings I'd seen before. The three major Forerunner spires stabbed up toward us like spikes waiting to impale us. I ignored the oncoming scenery, though, and focused on getting Virgil to the engine. Once I hauled him close enough, he set to work, feeding his tentacles in through the engine's exhaust louvers so far that I worried what might happen to him if they happened to fire up right then. Of course, I was right there with him, so the resulting blast would probably take me out, too. Our need to get clear once the engine was fixed meant we had even less time than I'd hoped, at least if the two of us were going to survive. "Whatever you're doing there, Virgil, do it fast!" I shouted. I didn't know if he could hear me, but it was best not to distract him anyway. I glanced around, looking for some kind of safe way out when he was done. I didn't see anything obvious. I'd been a hell jumper for years. In that job, they locked you in a steel coffin called a drop pod, tossed you out of a perfectly good spacecraft, and watched you fall to your doom. Shielding or not, those things got hot. But usually, if you knew what you were doing and didn't get blasted out of the sky on your way down, which was why you rocketed down as fast as you could, you would survive the trip. And then, you got to jump out and fight for your life. So it wasn't like I hadn't been in free fall, often from greater heights. But this was a hell of a lot more terrifying, especially when I remembered that my jump jets weren't working, having been damaged in the trip out to the airfield. If I fell, I wouldn't be able to cushion or even guide my descent at all. I'd just plummet like a stone and land like a sack of bricks. We hadn't gotten high enough before we started falling that we had to worry about re-entry friction causing us to burn or melt at least. But that's small comfort when the ground is rushing up at you. Even though my armor was spaceworthy, I still felt like we were about to shake to pieces at any second. I'd heard that the Master Chief had once fallen to a planet from orbit and survived, back in the days when he and Cortana were working on the same side. But those Spartan IIs had been literally made to be invincible. They'd figured out how to cut some costs by the time they got around to me. So who knows how I would have ended in that kind of fall. In any case, I had no desire to test my luck, although I wasn't sure I would have much of a choice. Then Virgil drew all his tentacles out of the engines at once. I took that as a good sign. "Get ready, Gretchen," I shouted into the comm. "When I give the word, hit it!" That was when Virgil slipped, and the straps on his tablet broke. It turns out bags of gas aren't nearly as aerodynamic as aircraft, and the straps weren't made for stresses like that. The Hurragok had been holding on to me with his tentacles, too, but that wasn't going to be enough without the straps. He went flying upward, howling in pain and panic. I spun around and reached for him, and I lost my hold on the ship. This was probably for the best if Virgil wanted to retain all of his tentacles. If I'd have remained fastened to both the ship and him, it might have torn him apart. As it was, I went with him. I kicked off from the Condor and fell backward toward the alien. The next thing I knew, I had my arms wrapped around him. This wasn't how I had ever pictured dying, hugging a Hurragok. "Fire it up, Gretchen," I shouted. "Get that bird out of here." "Not till you're back inside," she shouted. "Veronica would kill me."
We're not going to make it, I said. We're falling free, and my thrusters are gone. You light that goddamn firecracker and ride it the hell out of here. That's an order!
I clung tightly to Virgil, and he wrapped his tentacles around me in kind. I tried angling toward the ship as we fell, but I couldn't get the aerodynamics to work. As it was, I felt lucky we weren't tumbling head over heels. The Condor's engine took a couple tries to spin up, but Virgil's repairs finally paid off, and its thrusters burst into a bright blue glow. The ship caught itself and veered away from us at top speed as we continued to fall. Maybe the two of us were about to die, but at least we'd saved everyone on the Condor. That seemed like a fair trade, if you had to make one. And we might be okay and just land awfully hard. Virgil, after all, could probably float to the ground like a worn-out balloon, if and when I let go of him. As for me, I supposed I was about to find out just how tough my armor was after all. This was going to either hurt like hell, or I wouldn't feel a thing because the landing would instantly pulverize me. Not sure which one I was favoring at that moment. We were rushing toward the ground like an incoming bullet.
Buck, Veronica said in my ear. Buck! I'm sorry, Veronica, I told her. I love you. I wish I'd married you when I had the chance.
That's great, lover boy, Romeo said. Very touching.
Turn around, you idiot!
I looked back to see the Condor coming up behind me and Virgil. An instant later, it blasted past and situated itself in front of us, its rear bay open. The only trick was getting us on board the damn thing before we all splattered on the ground. Dutch appeared at the back of the open ramp, grabbing one of its grips with one hand. Romeo climbed up past him and formed a human chain by hanging on to Dutch's spare arm. Mickey then went swinging past Romeo to add another link to the chain, and he reached out for me. They were still a little too far away. We were less than a meter apart, and we weren't going to make it. Then Gretchen eased back on the Condor's jets just a bit. She was already going so slow, for a ship like that, that I was afraid she might stall out and put us back in the same powerless situation we'd been in. But this did the trick. Mickey craned his free arm as far as it could go and grabbed me, wrapping his arm around me tight. Veronica was standing at the back of the ramp, ready to shut it as soon as we were in. "Pull!" she shouted at everyone in the chain. "Pull them in!" The Alpha 9 chain, Romeo, Dutch, and Mickey all together, hauled us back inside the Condor so hard that we all ended up piled together in the front of the bay. Veronica smacked the button and the ramp's motors started hauling it closed again. "They're in," she shouted to Gretchen. "Pull us up!" Gretchen responded by swinging the ship around so hard that if it hadn't been for the reactivated artificial gravity in the bay, we'd have gone tumbling right out the back door before it could finish closing. Virgil nearly did anyhow, but I managed to keep a grip on him and steer him to a rest next to Sadie once more.
"Thank you," I said,
lying there on the deck and trying to catch my breath.
"I could have sworn I gave a direct order for you all to leave."
Gretchen's voice came over the comm. She was laughing.
"You forget, Buck. You're not running this outfit." "Wait. What?"
Veronica reached over and smacked my helmet.
"You may be a noble fool, but this is an Oni operation.
Alpha 9 is your squad, and this mission is mine." I'd never been so happy to have my authority undermined.
"I cannot believe we did it," Mickey quietly said, "that we not only saved all those people, but managed to escape from the Guardian, too."
I had a hard time believing it myself, but I wasn't about to question my luck. It had held out for me this long, and I figured the least I could do was give it the respect it deserved.
"Are we out of the atmosphere yet?" I asked Gretchen.
"On our way," she said. "You fall that far down, it's a long climb back up. Any signs of trouble from the Guardian?"
"It should still be charging up after that last pulse," Virgil reported.
His electronic voice didn't show a bit of how beat he was. I collapsed in the nearest seat, flat out exhausted. Free fall takes a lot out of a man. Veronica came and sat beside me. I gently put my arm around her, and she leaned into me, despite how uncomfortable my armor must have felt. I looked across the bay at the others. Romeo was busy clapping Mickey on his back, congratulating him on a job well done. Mickey could only sit there,